pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our present study of the Bible, we're going through the subject of dispensations. Now, some people do not believe in dispensations. They do not believe that it is found in the Bible. Well, I've got news for those people. It is found in the Bible. Those dispensations, the ones we've studied and the ones we're going to study as we keep studying through the Word of God. Remember, we're taking a walk, a dispensational walk from the beginning to the beginning. The book of Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created. And then in Revelation, the last book of the Word of God, it says in God speaking, He said, I make all things new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And so we see that we're on a dispensational walk. We're looking at what God has placed in the Word to help us to understand Him better, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after man's failure in the preceding dispensations that we've looked at, and we're now looking at the dispensation of the law. Well, this is where God, once again, gives man the opportunity to listen to His, and that's God's direction. The dispensation leads to the cross of Calvary. Well, notice with me, if you would, that the dispensation of the law seems to begin where we find Israel at Mount Sinai. In the third month after coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai, according to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And this was the place where God would give to the children of Israel His laws and His commandments. And after they arrived at Mount Sinai, God had a message for His people. God reminded them about something. He told them many things, but what are the first three words in Exodus 19 and verse 4? It says, "Ye have seen." Well, what had they seen? Notice that verse says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Well, notice that they had seen the deliverance that God had, He delivered them from the Egyptians. And He did it quickly. He says, "And how I bare you on eagle's wings." And He says He brought them unto Himself. He gave man every opportunity up to this point to look to Him and trust Him only for the things that was necessary for this life and the life to come. Well, at Mount Sinai, God gave a special package of laws to His people. And God called this package My Covenant. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey My voice indeed and keep My covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine." Well, this covenant is often referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. And the package or covenant contained 10 commandments. Now, the package also contained many other laws, rules, and regulations for every area of life. God leaves nothing to the imagination. He leaves nothing to chance. And I remind you that God has always had a plan. God is never taken by surprise. And He always knows what to do and how to take care of us. And He knew how to take care of the people of Israel. Well, the law, the covenant, was given only to Israel. Some people get confused about this, but the law, this covenant that we're talking about, was given only to Israel according to the Bible. Because Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy, now this is speaking to Israel, I am thy God, which have brought thee, and that's Israel, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 27, And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Notice, the law was given to Israel. His covenant was given to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 8, And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I have set before you this day? And Romans chapter 9 and verse 4 says, Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Now, he's not asking a question, as it sounded like I was asking a question there in the beginning of Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, but it says, these people, before this, we know that he's talking to the Israelites. He says, who are Israelites? He's speaking to Israel. Well, God's law was not given to the Canaanites, the Babylonians, or to any other nation. God made this covenant with Moses and Israel. And by the way, this covenant was a conditional covenant. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 says, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Well, why the law? But what I just read to you tells me that they had to do certain things in order for them to see this covenant fulfilled. It was a conditional covenant. They had to do certain things. Well, as we look on, we ask and we want to know the question, why the law? Well, remember, the children of Israel had seen what God did to the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, if you remember, as we've studied the preceding dispensation of promise, we saw how that Israel murmured against God after he had brought them out of Egypt. They murmured and they complained, and they did not want to do what God wanted them to do, even after he delivered them. See, we need to remember that Israel, and they need to remember this, Israel had seen the way God made the bitter water sweet. We've talked about that, Exodus 15 and verse 25. And remember, Israel had seen how God brought forth water out of the rock. Exodus 17 and verse 6. Let me read that. He says, Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So they saw the water come out of the rock. They had good, clean, fresh water. And that water came from God. And then we see that God gave all these commandments for Israel's own good. Sometimes we think, just as they thought evidently, that God had given the law to punish them for some reason. But no, this is for their own good. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24 says, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. And notice what it says it was given for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Well, according to Jewish calculations, God gave his people 613 commandments in the law of Moses. And we often think of the Ten Commandments as being the only laws, but there was actually 613 according to the Jewish calculations. And once again, the most famous of the commandments given, of course, to Israel are the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Well, the Israelites had seen how gracious and merciful God had been to them in spite of their murmurings and their unbelief. They had seen God's power and greatness demonstrated again and again. The Israelites were trusting in themselves instead of God, even after everything that God had done for them, bringing them out of Egypt and protecting them as they went through the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto me. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You see, God, he wanted the best for his people Israel. He wanted the best for the children of Israel. And he wants the best for you and I today. He wants each of us to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I pray that you've asked Jesus into your heart. I pray that there was a time when you said, Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. Lord, I believe you can save me. I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, please cleanse me from all sin. Give me a clean heart, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to see you one day. I want to go to heaven, Lord, and you're the only way there. And let me remind you, if you're praying a prayer like that right now, God will save you. And let me remind you that the Bible says to everyone who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have eternal life, a never-ending life. God has promised that to every person who will say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Changing your mind. Trusting Jesus Christ, you change your mind that you can't go your way. You need to go God's way. And when you do that, God says, I want you as my child. If you will simply say to me, forgive me of my sin, I want to go your way now instead of my way. My way will not take me to heaven, but your way does. And your way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, ask him to save you today. Call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And saved person, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you're saved, you have, well, then you need to be living for him. Not to be saved, but because you are saved, you need to be telling other people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You need to be sharing with other Christians what God has done for you. You need to have fellowship with other Christians. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, we're not to shun church. The local church is where we gather together to have fellowship with each other, God's people. And the greatest thing of all is that we can be closer to God. Now, God is everywhere. And we can be close to God at home. We can be close to God in the street. We can be close to God anywhere we're at. But there's something about being in God's house that draws his people together. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's God. He speaks to us as saved people. We need to belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, a church that preaches and teaches Jesus Christ saves, takes people to heaven who will trust him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.